Mean to me, that was beautiful. You have a gift, and thank you for sharing it with us. And Andersi, that's the gift of testimony. Well said. Thank you very much. And Lubasi, thank you for your prayer. I pray for the assistance today of the Holy Ghost for all of you. I want you to know that you made a choice today to be here at Ensign College. You chose to make devotionals part of your education. Well done. I'm proud of you. And I pray for the assistance of the Holy Ghost for all of the thoughts that I've had and feelings that have come to my mind and heart in preparation for this devotional address. Greetings, and grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. You know, I've always wanted to greet others in the same way the Apostle Paul starts his epistles to the saints. It's a cheerful greeting. It recognizes God as our loving Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The greeting also emphasizes the blessings of comfort and mercy that come from God. In last week's devotional, President Cush and Sister Cush discussed the updated ecclesiastical endorsements, the honor code, the dress and grooming principles, and I was edified by their devotional address, and I hope you watch it again and again. These new standards can help us grow closer to God, and you know, parenthetically, it is such a blessing to have President and Sister Cush. They are models of capable and trusted disciples of Jesus Christ. So in that press release that was announcing the new standards, Elder Clark Gilbert, the CES Commissioner of Education, said, "Our goal is that all students and employees feel the love of the Savior, experience the growth from applying gospel principles, and more fully realize the joy associated with being part of a covenant-keeping community." I was touched by the first question of the new ecclesiastical endorsement, which asks, "Are you striving to deepen your testimony of God the Eternal Father and His Son Jesus Christ and in the Holy Ghost?" Did you know I went on and asked myself all the questions? All 12 questions, I decided to interview myself to see if I could endorse myself to come to this college and study with you. I hope you'll do the same throughout the year. Now, today I want to talk how we can strive to deepen our testimony of God the Eternal Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Here's an important principle. You need to understand the true character of God and His attributes. Brian Ashton, who was the second counselor in the Sunday School presidency, and now is the BYU Pathway Worldwide President, taught, "Having a correct idea of Heavenly Father's character, perfections, and attributes is essential to exercising faith sufficient to obtain exaltation. A correct understanding of Heavenly Father's character can change how we see ourselves and others and help us understand God's tremendous love for His children and His great desire to help us become like Him. An incorrect view of His nature can leave us feeling as if we are incapable of ever making it back to His presence. God loves us. He wants us to be happy. I was recently in a training meeting with Elder Cornish, who is an Emeritus General Authority 70. Elder Cornish was trying to teach us that eternal life and exaltation is the default for all of God's children, not the exception for just a few. In a previous general conference, Elder Cornish taught the following: "God will love and correct, but never discourage us. That's Satan's trick. Let me be direct and clear. The answers to the questions, am I good enough and will I make it, are yes. You are going to be good enough, and yes, you are going to make it as long as you keep repenting and do not rationalize or rebel. Jesus never used His agency to rebel against the Father, and He never rationalized. When Jesus appeared to America, He testified, 'I have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning.'" Elder Cornish continues, "The God of heaven is not a heartless referee looking for any excuse to throw us out of the game. He is our perfectly loving Father who yearns more than anything else to have all of His children come back home and live with Him as families forever. He truly gave us His only begotten Son that we might not perish but have everlasting life. Please believe and please take hope and comfort from this eternal truth. Our Heavenly Father intends for us to make it. That is His work and His glory. Now, the statement, the God of heaven is not a heartless referee looking for an excuse to throw us out of the game, that leaves you with the impression that God, if He was like that, only wants a few of His children to make it. And He's not like that. But my father had an experience when he was serving as a director of the Institute of Moscow, Idaho. He was asked to serve with two other prominent religious leaders on campus in an interfaith coalition. Now, I'm going to try to tell this story without demeaning any specific religion, okay? So we have Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with my father and two other religions. I'll just say one was known by the title Father, and the other was known by the title Reverend. So after working together for about a year, monthly meeting together, praying together, they formed a nice relationship. It was so effective that the university president said, continue another year. And at the end of that assignment, they were disbanded. They were melancholy about their parting their ways. But the father turned to my dad and turned to the reverend and he said, this is probably for the best. Since only he and a few others in his congregation would be going to heaven, but that my father and the reverend would be burning in hell. The reverend quickly stopped him and said, no. First of all, God is our God, and he'll only be saving a few, and it's the people of our congregation that he'll be saving with me, and that you and him will be burning in the everlasting fires of hell forever. Then they both paused and looked at my dad. They were expecting him to tell that he would condemn them both to hell. The reverend finally said, John, where will both of us end up going according to your theology? Then my father smiled, and with a twinkle in his eye, he told them that they were both good men. They were striving to live good lives and be honest, and that they would go to the kingdoms of glory in the heavens after this life. My father said that we believe that God the Father has a plan of salvation, not a plan of damnation. They were both shocked. Privately later, they wanted to continue the conversation with my father alone without the other one there. Now, back to Elder Cornish. He said, I love the way President Gordon B. Hinckley used to teach this principle. I heard him say on several occasions, brothers and sisters, all the Lord expects of us is to try, but you really have to try. Really trying means doing the best we can, recognizing where we need to improve, and then trying again. By repeatedly doing this, we come closer and closer to the Lord. We feel His Spirit more and more, and we receive more of His grace or help. I testify to you that God, our Heavenly Father, is a God of mercy and a God of comfort. He is full of righteousness. He is filled with holiness. He has wonderful attributes such as love and mercy and justice. God knows all things and He has all power. He is just full of goodness and He delights to bless you and comfort you. Another point or principle I want to make today is that God embodies perfect love and perfect law. Both mercy and justice in harmony are blended divinely within Him. Elder Gong of the Quorum of the Twelve taught the following. By divine love and divine law, we are responsible for our choices and their consequences. But our Savior's atoning love is infinite and eternal. When we are ready to come home, even when we are yet a great way off, God is ready with His great compassion to welcome us joyfully, offering the best He has. Elder Gong continues, President J. Reuben Clark said, I believe our Heavenly Father wants to save every one of His children, that in His justice and mercy, He will give us the maximum reward for our acts, give us all that He can. And in the reverse, I believe that He will impose upon us the minimum penalty which it is possible for Him to impose. I love that idea, that our God is a God who will give us the maximum reward for our acts and impose the minimum penalty which it is possible for Him to impose. Now, Elder Gong continues, on the cross, even our Savior's merciful plea to His Father was not unconditional, Father, forgive them, but rather, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our agency and freedom have meaning because we are accountable before God and ourselves and for who we are and what we know and do. Thankfully, we can trust God's perfect justice and perfect mercy to judge perfectly our intents and actions. Now, in the Doctrine and Covenants, we gain an insight into this perfect justice and mercy in this blend that he has. It says, "For I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. And he that repents not, from him shall be taken even the light which he has received. For my spirit shall not always strive with man, saith the Lord of hosts." Be careful of the following deception: that sin and temptations are not that serious, or that sin is so tempting that God's love makes it okay that I can continue sinning, since he understands me and how hard it is. The Apostle Paul corrected this false idea. He taught us that we are able to bear off temptation. He said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Let me repeat that. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Like Jesus, we should avoid temptation immediately. The moment you feel a withdrawal of the Spirit, have the courage to turn off your phone, turn off the computer or the television or whatever is being presented if it doesn't meet your Heavenly Father's standards. Sin and temptation become harder to reject the longer you hang around it and tolerate it. Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught, "Of course Jesus noticed the tremendous temptations that came to him, but he did not process and reprocess them. Instead, he rejected them promptly. If we entertain temptations, soon they begin entertaining us." There is always an escape. There is always another choice, another place to go, and another thing to do. When all else fails, follow the example of your father, Joseph of Egypt. Just run away. Now, God trusts you, and one of the greatest qualities of your generation is that God trusts you, and his prophets have showed great trust and love in you. For example, the New for Strength of Youth, A Guide for Making Choices, and these new CES dress and grooming principles and the standards that were announced show that God loves you and trusts you to follow the Holy Ghost and live by a higher and holier way. They trust your ability to be able to feel the Holy Spirit and recognize when it is withdrawing from you. Your reliance on the Holy Ghost will continue to guide you into safety and staying on the covenant path. It will help you avoid going down strange paths that lead to sin. I hope you felt today some confirming feelings and impressions from the Holy Ghost that have helped you understand God's true character, his love for you, his gratitude, even for our imperfect efforts as we strive to stay on the covenant path. Now, another principle I want to mention is that God delights to hear from us through prayer, and that prayer can help us align our will with God's will. From the Book of Mormon, there's a passage that reads, "And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart." Being meek and lowly of heart in our prayers is a key to happiness. To illustrate this, let me share an account I heard from a training broadcast and help me re-examine how I pray and what I pray for. It's from my friend, Brother Chad Webb. He gave the following, quote, "Celeste is a young mother of three whose baby woke up often at night. She began to pray that she and her baby could get the sleep they needed, but her prayers seemed to go unanswered." Now, we're going to pause here, and you're going to put in your concerns. Substitute here any current concern you have: missing your home and family, no friends, no boyfriend, no girlfriend, roommate drama and problems, whatever it is, being overwhelmed by homework and the word, the C word, canvas. It may be your problem right now. So, back to the story. This caused her to want to pray to better understand why she wasn't being blessed with relief. She learned from the Bible dictionary that we pray in Christ's name when our mind is the mind of Christ and our wishes are the wishes of Christ. We then ask for things it is possible for God to grant. Many prayers remain unanswered because they are not in Christ's name at all. They in no way represent his mind, but spring out of the selfish desires of man's heart. So Celeste decided to make a list of things for which she had been praying. By making this list, she realized that her prayers primarily consisted of asking Heavenly Father for what she wanted, which wanted God to change for her circumstances. And then she decided to make another list and write down those things which she was certain Heavenly Father wanted for her. Now, these two lists were not entirely incompatible. One, he shows that he loves us and he wants us to be happy, but this little exercise of creating two lists helped her learn an important truth. While she wanted to change her circumstances, God wanted to change her. So she decided to adjust her approach to prayer to better align it with her will with Heavenly Father's. So she wrote the following. I came up with a little formula to help me in my prayers. It is simply this. Whenever you ask for something you want, and you're not totally sure if it's something that God wants for you, tack on the phrase, but if not. And then add something you're sure God would want for you. For example, Heavenly Father, please bless me to get some sleep tonight, but if not, help me to have enough energy to be pleasant and hardworking anyway. Heavenly Father, bless my child, we'll get over this sickness and feel better. But if not, help us to trust in Thee and be patient with each other. Heavenly Father, please bless that I will be able to be included in my group of friends. But if not, even if I feel excluded, help me to be kind and generous. She continued, I tried this out for about a year, and I can say that my rate of prayer success has skyrocketed. I feel like I'm finally fulfilling the real purpose of prayer, which is not to negotiate my desires, but to align my will with God. An unexpected benefit has been that I don't feel fear in hard situations or getting what I want nearly as much as I used to, because I've seen and felt God hear and answer my prayers, both my desires and my but if nots. Believe that God, the Father, loves you and that He wants you to succeed while you're here, and that you're here at Ensign College for a divine purpose. He wants you to succeed here, and if you believe in Him and you go to Him in prayer, He will hear you and He will answer you. Now, the prophet Jeremiah taught how the Lord thinks about you. It's one of my favorite passages. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you will seek me, you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search me, search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. God has kind thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace and love. He is the God of mercy. He is the God of comfort. So does everyone here at Ensign College. President and Sister Cush pray for you, and they want you to succeed. So do the teachers, and so does your staff. But most importantly, God, our Heavenly Father, is on your side. And so is His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And so is the Holy Ghost. And with them, this is going to be your best semester ever. These really are days never to be forgotten. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.